Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live with yet another wonderful guest who has a lot to say and lessons to teach. And I'm going to go right to you, Angela Rockwood, who is an actress and a model and a producer.
Yes.
And I'm just going to ask you to step in and talk. Just talk a little bit about, like, childhood. When did you first know you could be an actress? When did you first want to?
Oh, God.
If you remember.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think back
to my childhood. What was your first acting job?
Well, it's not that my first acting job. Actually, my first acting job, I was actually on the set of The Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
It was the very first movie that I did in Hollywood. And I remember sitting on the set, just looking around, marveling at everything, thinking, I could do this. Yeah, I like this.
But you had already gotten that job. You had already gotten the role.
Yes.
So how did you get that?
I got the job because a girlfriend of mine had called me up. It was pretty interesting because I went through basically a 3-month, it was kind of like a depression. Well, not really a depression, but it was basically, I believe that sometimes we have to go within ourselves and like clean house. And I knew that before I was going to get into the acting industry,
mm-hmm.
I was going to have to go in within myself and, you know, just basically erase a lot of old recordings and things like that because business is pretty difficult. And
yeah.
I'd started in the industry when I was 17 years old and I got out of it before I was 21 because I just didn't like the business. I thought it was very ugly as mm-hmm. of the modeling world. And so when I fell into the acting world, it felt right.
Oh, but I see. So you're distinguishing between the modeling world and the
acting world.
The values
yes.
were different?
Or well, what? The modeling world, during that time, you had to fit a specific box. Like, you had to be this tall and this thin and look like this. And it was very difficult. And I didn't like the message that it was sending out there to the young women.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt it was ugly.
I see. Okay.
So, and so I got out of it. Yeah, it was difficult. And then going into the acting world, I fell in love with it. I think also I could actually tell you that the first time that I really felt that I wanted to be, and of course when I was little, but when I took an acting class, I thought it was extraordinary because I loved the tools and the metamorphoses that you go through
mm-hmm.
to find yourself mm-hmm. and to understand yourself, the things that you have to do to become an actor,
mm-hmm.
a good actor. Yes.
And some of those took you by surprise that you things you didn't expect you
no,
needed to
I
call
just,
on?
No, I was addicted and I loved, it was like a drug. I loved just going in and
mm-hmm.
just deciphering who I was as a human being, pulling off layers, diving in deeper.
So can I ask you what you found? Like, who were you as a human being?
What were your
strongest?
It's interesting because I'm such a positive, happy-go-lucky type of individual. And I remember my acting coaches would always want me to play the dark roles.
Oh.
And so going back into my childhood,
mm-hmm.
there were some pretty dark days. And so going within myself, I had to go back to those times and it made me better understand myself.
Oh, good. Sure.
And it was very powerful
mm-hmm.
because when an individual understands who they are on a spiritual level, on a deeper level, then they're able to face obstacles and basically live life. On
yeah.
a whole other level. Because a lot of people don't know who they are.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I really am grateful for the acting classes
mm-hmm.
and for what I learned when I started the acting classes.
Now, how old were you when you started the acting classes?
I was 23.
Now, was that after your car accident? Or
no, my car accident, I was in a car accident when I was 26.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you've been a working actress before?
No, not really. I took classes for about 2.5 years, I'd say like 23 to about 25.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did Fast and the Furious when I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I did VIP with Pamela Anderson right before my car accident.
So can you talk about the car accident? And
Yeah.
Would you? Because that's...
So basically, 1 week before 9/11,
mm-hmm.
I went to San Francisco with 2 of my bridesmaids. I was planning my wedding.
Oh.
And it was Labor Day weekend, and we were returning from SF.
Mm-hmm.
back to Los Angeles. And I was sitting in the back seat of the car. My girlfriend was, of course, driving, one of my girlfriends. And my other girlfriend was in the passenger seat. And we didn't have a collision with any other car. There was no drunk drivers involved or anything. Just, it was a simple, I guess you'd say that there was a little construction site and there was like loose gravel on the road.
Oh my.
So as we were going around this turn, the car just slowly drifted to the left. And
were you aware of that while it was happening?
You know, what's funny is that I actually, it's crazy. I mean, if I go back, but I actually was in the back seat and I was taking a nap and I remember waking up and I remember my girlfriends were talking and the story got very juicy. So I unfastened my seatbelt to get into the center to pull myself forward.
To listen more.
To listen more, to get in more into the conversation. And at that very moment, that's when we're going around the turn. And I could see the car just slowly start drifting. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, my girlfriend's going to correct the car, and which she did, but she overcorrected.
Oh.
So the car went back on the road, but then there was like this force that pulled us all the way to the far right. And by that point, I said, oh, here we go. And I went back into my spot, and I braced myself. I didn't put my seatbelt back on because I didn't think it was going to be a horrific car accident. And I put my hands behind her seat to brace myself. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I could feel the car start fishtailing.
Uh-huh.
And then as it started going side to side, the car spun around, and the back of the car at the side of the mountain. And that's what propelled me to go forward. Of course, my head was down because I was praying. And the top of my head hit the back of the seat, and then that's what had compressed and then shattered my C4, C5 vertebrae.
And you were the only one injured?
No, my girlfriend Twee passed away.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No,
to hear
it's
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
she's
just so sad.
She's in heaven, she's with her father. But when the car flipped the first time, all the windows shattered, but the only window that actually busted and broke was the little triangle window. That was the one that I flew out of. So I flew about 35 feet. I landed on the left side of my head, on the side of the road, on face down. And by that point, I was already paralyzed. And
did you know that?
I didn't know that I was paralyzed. Uh-huh. But I remember waking up for a brief second. And just your initial reaction is to get up. And I remember laying there face down with my face on the gravel. And I could see my hand in front of my face. And your reaction is to push up.
Of course.
So I was trying to push myself up, but I couldn't move.
Oh,
and I could feel my body was just getting heavier and heavier, like lead into the earth. And I could feel the blood like gushing out on the side of my head. And then by that point, I had just closed my eyes because I basically faded out. And then what they talk about, the white light, everything like that, saw it. Thought,
yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to get in trouble because my boyfriend at the time, my fiance, is going to be very upset. I need to go back. And then boom.
Oh, no thank you to the white light invitation, you mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So then that's when I woke up in the hospital. But my girlfriend, she said that when the car flipped the second time, or actually when it flipped the first time, it spun about 5 times. It hit the railing, and then it flew over the bank. And Twee, my girlfriend, who was sitting in the passenger seat, she was also an actress.
Mm-hmm.
She was the Yellow Ranger on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. She bounced around in the car. So when the car had flipped over, my girlfriend Stephanie she basically was in the car. The airbag had deployed.
Mm-hmm.
She had her seatbelt on. And she thought I was in the back of the car, like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always wear my seatbelt. And she was like calling for me, Angela, Angela, Angela. She didn't hear anything. So she looked to her side. And of course, Twee wasn't there. And then she crawled out of the window. I guess she busted it or something. I have no idea. But she had told me she came out of the car. And she was looking around. The dust was settling. It was dark out there. And she started hearing like moaning. So when she went to the back of the car, she saw my girlfriend Twee. She was half in the car, half out of the trunk. So she said she spoke to Twee and she responded and everything. And she said, okay, you stay here. I'm going to go find Angela. So she said she went back to the car and was trying to call out for me and no response. And then all of a sudden she's looking around, panicking, and way, 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 way up ahead, she sees me laying face down on the side of the road. And then that's when she went to me and she basically was trying to talk to me. And I guess at that point I was just moaning like, go get help, go get help.
Well, you weren't in view of anybody.
No. Uh-huh. No. And so the helicopter had came and airlifted Twee. They brought her to the hospital. She had internal bleeding. So when they stuck the trach down her throat, the blood started gushing out and she was dead on arrival. And then they put me in the ambulance and they brought me to the same hospital. And then when they found out I broke my neck, they said, no, put her back in the ambulance. We're going to transport her to another hospital. There's a doctor there that will be able to perform this surgery 100%. So then they transported me about 45 minutes to Sierra Vista Hospital in San Luis Obispo. And then I stayed there.
It's a long way.
Oh, I stayed there for 9 days in intensive care. It was during the whole 9/11 thing and everything. And then that's when, afterwards, when everything settled with the whole 9/11 thing, they basically transmitted, or not transmitted, they basically transferred me over to, I did my rehab in Downey Los Amigos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, so how long ago was that?
How many years? 2001, so 13 years.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, to look at you now, I mean, I know that you...
13 years ago? Yeah.
Yes. I know that you are at present successful at what you do.
I guess you can say
that. You got a modeling contract recently with Nordstrom's. Is that right? I read that somewhere. I don't know if that's right.
Well,
you're acting and you did Push Girls. So can you tell, what is the journey back from that to a different kind of success? Is that too hard to define?
No, not at all. Well, first off, when I came around, my whole life, I mean, I was ready. I was like, I was alive. So I was ready. I was like, okay, let's start working again.
That was your attitude right away?
That was my attitude right away. Only because when I was 17 years old, I had a premonition I was going to be in a horrific car accident.
No.
So when this actually happened, when I was in that hospital and I opened my eyes and I looked up at that ceiling, it was like deja vu. And I knew right there at that moment, this is it. This is the big bang that I've been waiting for. And it's really funny because I heard like this voice speaking to me and telling me all these things and that this was only going to be temporary and don't freak out, it's not permanent, everything and all that. And I remember the doctor going to my ex-husband and my father and telling them, okay, just be happy that Angela is alive. She has 3-5% chance of moving or feeling anything from the neck down, and she's classified as a quadriplegic.
But I can see that you're moving from the neck down. Yeah,
because I had a stem cell surgery.
Oh.
I left the country, and I went to Portugal. When Bush was running the country, this was...
Oh, I had no idea about this.
In 2004, uh-huh. I was the third American to have the surgery done, and the 11th patient to the doctor.
Uh-huh.
And I used to control everything with my mouth when I first was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a power chair like Christopher
Reeve. You mean like
Reeve.
Machinery to get
yeah.
the... Uh-huh.
Yeah, like a
breath.
They call it a sip and puff.
Uh-huh.
So I controlled everything. I mean, even when I was in the hospital, I remember my guy friends were like, whoa, because there was this machine. While I was laying in the bed, I could turn on the TV, answer the phone, move the bed, call the nurse. And I remember my guy friends were like, we want one of these in our house.
You know, I'm just looking at your beautiful face. And I need a television moment because people need to see you. Well, maybe they have seen you talk about this, but you're like even remembering this with such a joyful expression at what you could do.
Yeah.
That's just really something remarkable.
I don't know. I guess it's just basically, I've been through a lot in my life, mm-hmm. a lot. And I mean, from molestation to abuse to just rape, everything. Mm-hmm. So when I got paralyzed, for me, it was like, this is it. Like, this is nothing. I could do this. And like I was saying is when I was in that hospital, this voice spoke to me and my father sat by my bedside and he wrote word for word what this vision was, what this voice said.
Oh, so you have it.
So I have it.
Can you say
oh my gosh.
Can you say what it is?
So it would be my love letters. Basically,
yes.
It's in a diary. It's in a red diary. I have it in my house. And a year and a half ago, my dad actually came out from Tampa, Florida. And we opened it up and we read it. And it's crazy.
Is it too private to say what it is? Or I mean,
No. Basically, what it talks about is everything that I'm doing till this day.
Uh-huh.
Everything. So everything that I had envisioned.
Oh, so like the voice was guiding you to what you could do?
No, what I was going to do.
Yes,
I just had this clear vision of exactly what was going to happen. And so I wrote it all in this book.
I see.
And that book I specifically gave to my ex-husband because I was injured on the 4th and then his birthday was the 17. So I had presented this book to him as a birthday present. Mm-hmm. Because here I was in the hospital thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in the hospital paralyzed. I can't be here. I need to be out. I need to plan his birthday party because I wanted to plan a surprise birthday party. But I was able to do it. I threw it off in the hospital. So here I was paralyzed from the neck down, and I surprised my ex-husband for his birthday. I don't know how I
Wonderful.
Did that, but I did that. Yeah.
You're saying you don't know how you did it, but you did it.
Yeah, because I look back at those pictures and it's crazy because I remember he's an actor and he cried for a living and I never saw him cry.
Oh.
And for the first time in my life when I threw that party, I remember this look on his face and he looked over at me and he had tears in his eyes and he said, even paralyzed, she managed to do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She surprised me.
I'm guessing that kind of defines you, that she can do it.
Yes.
I mean, that you're not stoppable.
No.
So after the stem cell surgery, then you flew home. And, like, how long did that take for that to be effective and that you could...
They tell you start seeing results or anything, like, after 7 months.
And the results would be that you could move your hand.
Well, I started feeling little bits and... when I first was injured from the breast down, I had no sensation, nothing. And then when 7 months after the surgery, I had the urgency to go to the bathroom.
Oh, so it's sensation that you feel first.
I started feeling sensation first. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's different. It's not the magic bullet. They're not going to promise that you're going to wake up and you'll be walking.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's going to get the same results because everybody's different and everybody's injury is different. So you might get results, you might not. But they do promise you don't lose anything that you already have.
Oh, that's yes.
So I started getting
sensation.
So you can
only be improved. You can't.
Yeah.
Be. Now, can you talk about Push Girls and how you came to that and what that was for you?
So on this beautiful journey that I was blessed to be on, the paralysis journey. A lot of people don't know this, but Push Girls was inspired because I was blessed to go on this journey of paralysis, and through these experiences, I met all of these women, and they didn't have to be paralyzed, whether they were dealing with losing a breast from breast cancer, or dealing with some disease, or going through a divorce, whatever it was. I remember literally sitting there, and studying these women, and realizing that no matter what catastrophic event would happen in someone's life, they would lose themselves. There was this...
What does that mean, lose
like
themselves?
Like, this being, like, this inner light. Like, specifically, a lot of the women that I was meeting that were dealing with paralysis, they would just let themselves go. Mm-hmm. Like, they wouldn't do their makeup.
Oh.
They gained a lot of weight. They got depressed. They didn't care what they wore. And they just lost all self-confidence and belief within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me very sad, and it made me, and I almost went down that road because I had gained a lot of weight. I had gained like at least, oh my gosh, I lost like 60 pounds.
Really?
And yeah. Because I gained, because your body's used to moving and burning a certain amount of calories. And so when I got paralyzed, I had gained a lot of weight. So I almost went down that road, but something just clicked and I was like, no. And so back to what you're asking me as a Push Girls, I felt inside that I need to do something. I need to do something where I need to remind others that no matter what happens in their life, no matter what catastrophic event, you can't lose yourself. You have to really click and connect with who you are inside. And that being, that entity, that essence, that is what is going to pull you through anything and everything. And that's something that you have to connect with so that you can live your life to the fullest and to be truly happy.
So that was the motivation and the result that you wanted. But in between those two things, so that's why you can define yourself as a producer, because you knew how to get this done and on TV.
Yeah,
that can't be so easy.
No, it wasn't easy at all. So you know how they say you meet people for reasons?
Yes.
And so during this journey, I had the blessing of meeting my girls because we weren't casted. So I met Ati first in the hospital.
Oh.
And then I met Mia in an acting class. And then Tiffany I met in my house. And Chelsea we met at an event, in a foundation event. And originally, it started with Mia and Ati and myself. And I explained to the girls that I wanted to create a team, a team of women warriors that were going to go out there and remind others, men and women, to just live their life no matter what. And I knew, I just had this vision. I thought it was going to be a video at first, like an exercise video, like mind, body, and spirit. Little did I know that it was going to actually be a reality show. So when it all happened, I'm the type of individual, I have to be careful what I ask for because I get it, whether it's good or bad. And I remember the specific day I was in my room cleaning my closet with my best friend, and my girlfriend Geraldine went in the closet. She's cleaning it and everything, and she's just talking to me, and she's like, "Angela, you've been doing all these things with your life. You know, you're an ambassador for the Reeve Foundation. You started modeling for Nordstrom. You're getting back into acting. You're doing all these wonderful, great things. But you got to do something else. Like, get out there and really hit it and reach out to many people." And I'm just looking at her like, okay, where's she getting to? She's like, "You need a reality show or something." And I thought to myself, a reality show? Because when you're an actress or an actor, you don't think of reality shows. I never thought of a reality show.
Oh, because you think of playing a role.
Exactly.
And interpreting somebody.
Exactly.
Yes, sure.
So to make that long story short, which is too late, but basically my girlfriend stated that, and I'm not kidding. She went into the closet. She found all these business cards. She threw them on my lap, and I was going through them.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I came across this one business card, and it was a producer, an executive producer of Fear Factor and American Gladiator, David Hurwitz, that I met a year ago.
So you called him?
No. Oh. Never spoke to the man. Never reached out to him. But something just told me, you know what? I'm going to put this card aside and maybe drop a line, see how he's doing, whatever. Just, you know, remind him who I am. I'm not kidding. The very next day, I go on my Facebook. He wrote me.
My mouth's open. I'm sorry. My
jaw's open.
You didn't even get
him. I never know. He wrote me. And he
without
said...
Without having heard from
exactly.
you. Exactly. Wow.
So he wrote to me and he said, "Hi, Angela, remember me, David Hurwitz, producer of American Gladiator Fear Factors. I wanted to reach out to you to see if you're interested in a possible reality show idea." Because he knew my story.
And so he had the idea?
No.
Oh, okay.
He knew my story with my ex-husband and myself, our love story, because we did an article in People Magazine.
Oh.
And so he came to me. He wanted to share the story. And that's when he introduced me to Gay Rosenthal. Gay Rosenthal, who is the producer of Little People, Big World.
Mm-hmm.
She loved the story. And we actually got together. We actually pitched it to two networks. And then I just said, you know what? The show is not about me.
Right.
The show is about every individual that is out there. And they need to see the life. What's funny is I was smart because I took a photo of the four girls. Oh, well, myself, the three girls and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a photo of us on the couch without our chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the next photo was with us with our chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in Oprah Winfrey's pitch meeting, that's when I had shared the story is about these women right here. And I remember my executive, when we left that pitch meeting, she said, "I want to meet your girls." And then when she met Tiffany and Ati and Mia, and she sat down with all four of us, she said, "Okay, I see what the story is
gosh.
Here.
Okay.
And I see what the message is here." And that's when we went to Sundance, because we thought, what network is bold enough to think outside of the box?
Yes.
And we pitched to them.
Uh-huh.
They fell in love with us.
And then the rest is history.
It really is history. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you at this point, because we don't have too much time left, and I wish we did, and maybe maybe you'll come back and we'll do another one when you have something else to talk about. I know you've got a lot.
Oh, yeah. I am working this year. We are going to be bringing it back, Push Girls,
but it's
a different twist to it. So, yeah.
All right. So do you have a website you want to say for people to see as much as they can?
I have my website, which is AngelaRockwood.com, but folks can reach me on Instagram at AngelaRockwood_official.
Okay, AngelaRockwood_official.
Correct. And also on Facebook, Angela Rockwood Facebook.
So you can all find her if you want. Tell me quickly, if you can, just for a couple of minutes, if you were to write, because I'm about love letters, a love letter right now, it would be to whom? And earlier you made a little, your eyes kind of brightened even further and you say, oh, that could be the love letter. Who would you write to? I mean, I can see that there would be a lot of people, including yourself.
It's funny because when I was talking about my ex-husband.
Uh-huh, that's what you said,
And it just sparked in me like,
that's what that
I would send the love letter to my ex-husband.
Oh, I hope you do.
Yeah.
What would you be talking about?
I would tell him just how amazing and remarkable. I think I was just thinking of the journey.
Uh-huh.
And from when I met him, from when he was 35, because he's like 51 now.
Mm-hmm.
And just visualizing, I was able to experience and see the metamorphosis that he went through. And everything through my accident and just our life, just everything.
Okay.
And so I think.
Have you ever written to him before?
Yeah, we're very close.
Oh,
we're still best friends.
How nice.
Yeah. So I actually, he emailed me for the New Year's and I hadn't emailed him back when I came back from Italy this past month, January 8th?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And of course, a love letter has one definite distinction over the emails. Is that when he's reading it, he's reading something that's actually felt the touch of your hand.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's like holding hands across time, or maybe it's something that you hold your lips to and you give a kiss to it before you put it in the mailbox.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all over that thing.
Yeah.
There was a person there, which isn't the same with email, although I love email.
Now, when you say love letters, like, it's not because, like, I'm in love with him.
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
They're definitely not necessarily romantic. They're, I remember, I'm grateful.
Yes.
I'm glad we're best friends. I remember when you did this for me.
Yes.
And other love letters are sometimes apologies.
Yes.
Or inviting somebody into your life or inviting them out.
It's so funny. When we went through the divorce, I actually wrote him a love letter like that.
Oh, good
for
you.
And it basically was being grateful for what he did and just how remarkable he is. The mistakes that were in the relationship. For that we had, and that for him when in his next relationship, not to repeat them, to try not to.
Yes.
And I remember pointing, and I still have the letter, so I remember pointing it all out to him.
Of course you still, because people don't throw away letters, isn't
it? Well, it's in the email, so.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
But I printed it out.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
say,
and I gave it to him.
Yes.
And he read it, and I remember, you know, he thanked me for it and everything. I remember we hugged, and it was a friendship love, and it was just beautiful.
Yes.
And
it's just two
friends helping each other out.
And that's such a good point you make, or that you kind of touch on, is two wonderful people can still not be right for a lifetime together of marriage.
Yeah, why is whatever
you loved in the beginning is still there.
Exactly. Why do people have to like break it off and not be friends anymore? Just, I don't understand that. It's like if someone comes into your life and they shared that journey with you, why do you have to just
throw them out?
Exactly.
I know. That makes sense to me. Oh, thank you so much for doing this. I have one little extra thing to do. David referred to you as such a healer.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I can see that because even if you're not doing it consciously, everything you've done in life leaves that trail. Thank you.
I think we're all healers, though. If people really pay attention, everyone's a healer
in their own way. Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Yeah.
It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember, everybody, that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
You can write it anytime because just being in the moment and being alive, That is a special occasion.
That's right. That's just perfectly said. And gratitude taken to the grave doesn't serve anyone. You might as well just write it and stamp it and mail it, and there you go.
Yes.
Thank you, dear. Well, this
Thank
is
you.
Janet Gallen and
Angela Rockwood
saying goodbye for now.